like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, May 14th, 2018. And it's been our tradition for many, many years. I'd like to invite all assembled here to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item on the agenda is the approval for the minutes of the executive session of April 23rd.
Motion to approve, Mayor.
We have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the executive session minutes as submitted. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you. Please note that it's four council members in favor and Councilmember Purnell is absent. Next is the approval of the statement of closure of the executive session, which is, let me get this all squared away. There were, under the Maryland Open Meetings Act law, there were three reasons for that executive session. One was first to consult with counsel to obtain legal advice on a legal matter. The second was to consult with staff, consultants, or other individuals about pending or potential litigation. And third was to discuss a public security. If the public body determines that public discussion would constitute a risk to the public or to public security in any manner. Okay. So, all right, the next item on our agenda then is the approval of the regular session minutes of April 23rd.
I have two corrections.
Okey-dokey.
The first is on page 3 of 6. Mm-hmm. GEMS is supposed to be J-E-M-S and not G-E-M-S.
Which paragraph?
4B.
4B?
First paragraph.
And it should be, what'd you say?
J-E-M-S as opposed to G-E-M-S.
Thank you.
And the second change is on page 5 of 6. If we could strike posted on, this is under number 6, first paragraph. If we could strike post it online to see if people notice to conduct a survey.
And where is the word posted? Where should
it's
which,
under,
which line?
Mayor Williams said we can look into this for future signs. Councilmember Tyndall said we should get digital files to of past signs and post it online to see if people notice it.
Okay, and that should be changed to it?
I'm motioning to strike post it online to see if people notice it and change it to conduct a survey.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Any other corrections or to the regular session minutes of April 23rd? Okay.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve the regular session minutes by Councilmember Brittingham for April 23rd, 2018. All in favor of approving the minutes with the correction? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. Next is the minutes for the Utility Fund work session, which was on April 30th.
I'll make a motion to approve. Item 1D on the agenda.
All right. We have a motion by Councilmember Tyndall to approve the Utility Fund budget work session of April 30th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
One abstained.
Okay. Thank you. And let me see. Next is the approval of the executive session minutes of April 30th, 2018.
I make a motion to approve agenda item 1E.
We have a motion to approve the executive session minutes of April 30th by Councilmember Tindall. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
One abstain.
Okay. We have that. The reason for that executive session under Maryland Open Meetings Law was to discuss public security. If the public body determines that public discussion would constitute a risk to the public or the public security, including the deployment of fire, police services, and the development and implementation of emergency plans. Okay. Thank you. All right, before we go to item two, I have the pleasure of announcing that we are very, very happy and very proud that one of our fourth grade students here in Berlin has not only been a winner in the If I Were Mayor essay contest for 2018, but he is actually a regional winner. It's only the second time in the last 12 years since this town has been participating that has happened. And I would like to invite up Michael Hebert and his mother, Mary Beth Hebert, and I believe his teacher, Aaron Shimko, here as well. Come right on up here. Michael is a fourth grader at Worcester Prep. I have to say that congratulations first. Very proud of you. You got your essay? Excellent. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Yes, good to see you. Thank you. Come right here, center stage. And it's interesting. One of the most pleasurable things I'm privileged to do as a mayor is to speak to students in a variety of ages and grades throughout the year. And the If I Were Mayor, I Would contest, and it's sponsored by the Maryland Municipal, the Mayor's Association of the Maryland Municipal League, gives me an opportunity to not only talk to students, but hear what's on their mind. And I have to say, every time I do that, usually it's in late February to early March, come away re-energized. Because, you know, let's face it, there are days that, you know, are not the best. But when I come away, I'm always impressed with the insightfulness, the thought, the caring that such young people have, and it gives me a great deal of optimism about our future, not only as a community, but as a country. So I'm going to ask Michael if you would please read your mayor's regional winning essay contest. I would appreciate it. Thank you. agenda. And the first, 2A, is a motion 2018-13, a motion approving a parks reservation fee waiver for Stephen Decatur High School for the remainder of the school year. Do we have someone here representing Stephen Decatur?
We were expecting somebody. Yes, Pastor Tim with Sunrise Church said he contacted the school and asked if they could send a representative, but I don't see anyone
here. Would you ask if they could come to the next meeting?
We could do that. Yes, sure. I can, but their activity dates do take place before our next meeting.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes, so I'm not sure. Yeah,
okay.
I have their two dates. They were looking at May 25th and, well, May 24th with the rain date of May 25th for their senior picnic. So I'm not sure.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Do we approve it?
All right.
Motion for 2018-13.
All right. We have a motion by Councilmember Tindall to approve a waiver of the park reservation fee for Stephen Decatur High School for the remainder of this school year, which ends in mid-June. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Thank you. Next is motion 2018-12, a motion approving park reservation fee waiver for the summer summer of 2018 for Worcester Youth and Family Counseling Service. And I believe the motion was requested by Executive Director Steve Taylor. Yes.
Good evening. My name is Steve Taylor, and I'm here representing Worcester Youth and Family Counseling Services. I'm the Executive Director there. And this request is to request a fee waiver for the summer for youth programs operated in partnership with the Town of Berlin. And we have a memorandum of understanding, so perhaps the next one, we could integrate that into the agreement if the council so desires. But at this point, I'm seeking a waiver. There also might be situations where staff could grant these if you're working with a nonprofit that you already have a relationship with. So I ask you to consider that as well.
Okay. And how many years now have you been having this event?
With the BYC, it's been at least 10 years.
10 years, okay. Yeah. That sounds right.
It could be longer than that. I don't remember off the top of my head, but I'd say at least 10.
Does anyone have any questions for Steve regarding this request?
Quick question. Can our town administrator waive those herself, or do they need to be brought before mayor and council?
Yeah, I can answer that. Not currently under the policy that we have, and that's one of the reasons why you're seeing these fee waivers come up. We're taking a closer look at those requirements, and I don't have the authority. So what Mr. Taylor is suggesting is either, you know, put it in their contract, which I think makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
Or if you're interested, we can bring a policy change back to the mayor and council where the staff is authorized to make these fee waivers for nonprofit organizations, and just with some review at the staff level. If you're open to that, I'd be happy
to
bring
that. How about if we look at that idea?
Okay.
With that being said, I'll make the motion that we go ahead and waive those.
Okay. Okay, it's a great idea. That way we're looking at the future as well as tonight.
Absolutely.
So we have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to waive the park reservation fee for the summer for Worcester Youth and Family Counseling. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for bringing that to our attention as well.
Thank you.
All right. Number three on our agenda is a presentation by Salisbury University students regarding the draft B-City resolution presentation. So this should be very interesting.
Yeah, actually, we have several groups of students that we worked with this year that are going to speak to a combination of projects.
So from different
it's
schools?
It's one class, but it's several groups of students, and so let's just give them a second to get set up. But they have posters in the back that I thought were really very attractive and did a really nice job of sort of outlining the three projects that they worked with us on. And I think the first group is actually going to be the B City group. And on the screen, you see essentially an electronic version of the posters that are
excellent.
In the
excellent.
Back.
Okay, so if you don't mind, because we're broadcasting and recording and also broadcasting on the internet, if you don't mind saying who you are and who you're representing.
Absolutely. Good evening. My name is Erin McNally, and on behalf of my colleagues in Salisbury University's Environmental Studies Senior Seminar class taught by Dr. Sarah Surak, I would like to thank the council for allowing us time to share results from our semester-long civic engagement projects with the Town of Berlin. Throughout the semester, we have worked in three groups to develop and implement different sustainability-focused projects in Berlin. Specifically, Berlin's certification as a pollinator-friendly bee city, the design of informational signage at the new Berlin Falls Park, and the promotion of going straw-free in local restaurants. Each group collaborated with a variety of stakeholders during this process. And by doing so, we were able to create projects we understood to fit within the values and needs of the community. In the following presentations, a representative from each group will provide a summary of their project, explaining the overall goals, processes, and results. Following the presentation, we are happy to take questions from the council. We will begin with the Bee City group presentation.
First, let's introduce ourselves. Aaron, why don't you start, and just first and last name, just so we have it for the record.
It's good.
Is that good? Yeah.
Great.
Okay. My name is Aaron McNally.
My name is Emma Renteria.
Alyssa Massey.
I'm Raymond Kimball.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening. My name is Alyssa Massey, and these are my colleagues, sitting in the back, Krista Dreyer, Aaron McNally, and Michael Bowman. We have worked over the course of the semester to complete a civic engagement project in collaboration with the town of Berlin for Berlin to become the next certified bee city. Given our engagement, we are proposing the town council apply for and adopt the Bee City Resolution. The Bee City Resolution is a set of commitments focusing on increasing and improving pollinator habitats in municipalities. Here are a few reasons why bees should be a priority for Berlin. Bees are essential to agriculture. They are responsible for pollinating 1/3 of our food, and $10 billion in crops are supported by pollinators annually. In this region specifically, crops such as strawberries, tomatoes, and apples all rely on pollinators. Worldwide, pollinators are necessary for the protection of 90% of flowering plants. If adopted, the Bee City Resolution will benefit Berlin in the following ways. The first, by supporting the town's traditional tourism and also enhancing the more specific element of ecotourism, promoting environmental education and knowledge about pollinators. And third, and lastly, encouraging the creation of pollinator gardens, boosting biodiversity and local agriculture. Now, we realize that people may have concerns about promoting a bee-friendly environment, and we'd like to emphasize that strategic pollinator gardens and bee boxes attract solitary bees, which do not swarm or form colonies. Our local bees will therefore pose minimal threats to Berlin's residents and visitors. Over the course of the semester, we've collaborated with and received support from the town administrator, Laura Allen, Water Resources Administrator Jane Carter, Berlin's Green Team, the Berlin Falls Park Advisory Committee, and the Parks Commission. Thank you all for your support. The resolution will cost the town $150 for the initial certification, as well as a $150 annual fee. And implementation will fall to Jane Carter and the Green Team. We hope that you will apply to be the next Bee City by submitting a draft Bee City resolution to Bee City USA. We believe this will benefit not only the town, but also the natural areas around and within Berlin that attract so many visitors every year. We believe this resolution would enhance and promote the coolest small town on the Eastern Shore. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Raymond Kimball, and I work with group members Jay Halstead and Bailey Ingersoll to explore how we might support the work of the newly commissioned Berlin Falls Park Committee. As you know, Berlin Falls Park is a former chicken processing facility purchased by the town in 2016. It is 60 acres in total, and the town is coordinating a planning process to transition the site into a recreational park. To gain a general understanding of the space, we began by visiting Berlin Falls Park. The space is still an industrial area, and our site visit allowed us to walk around the park and take photographs to assist in our brainstorming process. As a representative of our group, Bailey was able to attend the first meeting of the Berlin Falls Park Committee, which convened in March of 2018. The town committee was receptive to our involvement, and we asked how we might support their efforts. Committee members suggested several ideas for the projects, from designing water rescue areas to signage to draw attention to the park. Drawing upon our backgrounds in land use planning and outdoor education, we decided to focus on how we might support the development and replacement of the park entrance sign and the information boards. The goal of the signage would be to educate and inform the public as they arrive to and walk through the park. As a group, we conceptualized several types of signage. Jake sketched out these designs, and we presented our work at the April Berlin Falls Park Committee meeting. With several designs for both the entrance and the information board, We hoped that the committee would find one of each to create an identity for the park. Our presentation was well received, and the committee members now have this information in hand for future use. Though our project was not completed during our time with the town, we helped to set the groundwork for future capstone groups to come and pick up where we left off and to further develop our plans. The ideas and designs are being kept not only by the university, but also the committee for further use when the time and resources are ready. We learned that the planning process is slow, and not all projects are completed in a time scale that we would like, and this is something that's perfectly fine and okay. Throughout the entirety of our project, we have been met with continual support from the local community and feel as though we have learned a great bit about community engagement. We also learned the value of community involvement and how we can apply these experiences to our futures wherever that may take us. Thank you for your time, as well as the opportunity to present our ideas and thoughts when it comes to the Berlin Falls Park.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Emma Renteria. Together with my partner Maggie Griffin, I worked over the course of the semester with local restaurants in reducing plastic waste by promoting a straw-free environment. Our project is of significant importance for both the local and global environment. Straws are one of the 10 most common types of garbage polluting the ocean. Due to this pollution, when a fish ingest plastic, they have a 50% chance of dying from it, affecting their species populations. Further, straws do not biodegrade, they photodegrade, meaning they break down into more harmful pieces that last in our environment indefinitely. By 2050, there's predicted to be more plastic than fish in the ocean. Approximately 500 million disposable plastic straws are used in the United States every day. A majority of these are given out automatically to customers at restaurants. By reducing straw use, restaurants like those in Berlin, they will minimize the amount of plastic that is going into the ocean, killing marine life and polluting their waters. To approach this problem, we began by visiting restaurants in the downtown area to inquire as to their current use of disposable products, such as straws and other forms of packaging. We also asked what might encourage them to switch to different product types and whether or not they would consider going strawless completely on Earth Day. Our visit taught us an important lesson about community engagement. Through this initial interview process, we learned that many businesses had already taken steps to decrease plastic straw use within their facilities by only handing out straws upon request or using biodegradable straws. What we assumed to be a problem, but with further research, discovered that businesses were more open to change than assumed. With this new knowledge, we shifted our focus to helping the restaurants promote and educate the public on the environmental impact of plastic straws. To do so, we created an infographic and flyer for restaurants to promote their initiatives and further re-educate patrons as to why going straw-free in their establishments, as well as their lives in general, is important. We also asked the restaurants to take the One Less Straw Pledge, stating that they would only hand out plastic straws upon request for 30 days. Many restaurants took the pledge and displayed the flyer and infographic. Overall, this experience enhanced our understanding of the types of agency we can have within local communities. Even those from outside of a community, if respectful and willing to learn about the community, can play a role in supporting community change. We want to thank the town of Berlin and the restaurants that allowed us to work with them and gain experience in green business initiatives. We hope that our efforts throughout the project have raised public awareness about the problem and have made a positive impact on the environment.
As you can see from our presentations, we've learned much over the course of the semester. As we draw to a close, I would like to highlight a few of these points which emerged throughout our process working with Berlin. First, we are incredibly grateful to have been able to work with a town that is motivated and passionate about sustainable initiatives to improve your impact on this earth. Through these projects, we learned how to partner and communicate with stakeholders. Through our collaborations, we realized that successful projects require the support of as many people as possible. Working with the town of Berlin made many of us realize how much we appreciate a community that is willing to work together as well as with outside contributors. A community like this one is able to achieve a high quality of life for residents by working together towards common goals for the betterment of the whole. As environmental studies students, it's easy to get bogged down by the negativity in the news concerning environmental issues and policies, but working with Berlin has been an experience that has uplifted many of us as we prepare to graduate this semester. Many of these projects have the potential to be continued and in some cases finished with the next senior seminar class. We are encouraging the incoming class to build upon our efforts in the fall. Finally, we would like to thank a few key partners. Our work would have not been possible without the support of Laura Allen, Jane Kreider, David Deutsch, the Berlin Falls Park Advisory Board, the Berlin Green Team, the Berlin Parks Commission, and Dr. Dave Scheid, and of course, the Berlin Town Council. Thank you for allowing us the time to present our work.
Very well. Very nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have to point out here that rather you might have realized or not, you experienced something that I think is starting to be rediscovered. It's not being rediscovered in Washington. It's being rediscovered in communities, towns, and small cities throughout this nation. And that is that when things are forced from above down, some people call it trickle down. It's more like shove it down. It doesn't last. All right, it's actually counterproductive to the goals, no matter how worthy they may be. But it's been our experience as a community that when it comes to efforts of this nature, that sustainability is everything. It's not just what you do now, it's what is done after you have made your impact and what you leave behind. So my analogy I would like to leave you with is forget trickle down, believe in bubble up. Because when things bubble up from individuals, families, individual restaurants, consumer habits, individual expectations, all those bubbles form together to create champagne change. And that's what you've done here, and we're very grateful. And I would hope that in your process here, that many of the things that you've shown will work, that there is working with the folks who will follow you, since you're the leaders, will be able to make this not just a newly discovered change in the way we do things, but can make this something that is sustainable because people expect it of themselves. So I thank you very much on behalf of the mayor and council, and we appreciate this very much for all the different efforts. And it just shows you, you know, just because something hasn't been done before does not mean it can't be done now. So thank you.
I have two questions.
Sure.
Go ahead.
First, can we display the billboards at the visitor center? Is that something we could do?
Sure. We have a little bit of an issue with the backing, but I think we can work that out.
Okay. Secondly, do we need a motion for the B-City?
I was going to ask you for a motion on the B-City.
I'll make a motion. That
would be ideal.
Excellent.
Great idea.
Before the mayor calls the question, thank you for selecting our town for your various projects. We appreciate it. We appreciate you selecting Berlin greatly. And could you share with us those things on the table? What are
okay.
they?
Oh,
and how they work?
These are meat boxes. These are the one of the items that we were encouraging, like the Berlin Falls Park Advisory Board and the and the Parks Commission to place around the parks to encourage solitary bees to house in those. And those are something that you can make at home and like put them in your backyard. And it just encourages pollinators to come to your area.
Well, I think I can make one of these.
Oh, yeah, very easy.
And then, lots of two cuts.
For the benefit of the public that weren't able to hear your presentation before, can you talk a little bit about the types of bees that these would be drawing versus bees that most people are familiar with in terms of the ones that swarm? And,
sure. Okay. So most of the bees that are native to this area are solitary living bees. And these guys will live in blades of grass, they'll live in bushes and things like that, but they're solitary. So they live by themselves, they don't live in a hive. And there's only one species that really does live in a large hive. And these bee houses are not attracted, like those bees aren't attracted to those specific boxes. So by having these around, you're not going to attract bees that come in big hives and swarms, and people are tended to be intimidated by those. But the other initiatives that are also in the Bee City kind of requirements and suggestions attract other pollinators as well, such as bats, different types of birds, butterflies, all sorts of animals. So it's not just bees, but they focus on bees because everybody knows about bees being the pollinators. So this is just one of those kind of things that you can attract those solitary living bees to the area where you have pollinator gardens and native plants.
Could you also describe the young man sitting there in the second row back? I was here for the bee presentation.
Yes.
My concern being that I'm allergic, I'm still in support of all this, but he went on to describe how you're going to put them in our spray sites as well, and that they should not, he guaranteed me, bring hornets, wasps, and all those other wonderful type things.
No, all those species aren't attracted to the bee boxes, and especially if, you know, if you're worried about people being uncomfortable with those things, you can put them in areas where there aren't people. At the university, we actually have two actual hives, and I've never seen them, and I've been there for years. So if that makes you feel any better, the bees tend to stay away.
I don't want to see them either. They look fluorescent orange.
We do have hives at the spray site currently, right?
Yeah.
Also.
And the Bee City Resolution is really customizable to Berlin, so it's different for every town or every city that adopts it, but the Berlin Green Team will be the people actually implementing it. So as things come up, as issues come up, you can change it and adopt it to what fits for them.
So long as they're not on Thomas Court, I'm happy.
And the process for the application would be submitting this draft resolution, and the Bee City organization will review and approve it. Assuming it passes muster, they'll send it back, and then we will bring it back to you for approval. But at this point, it's really the application that we're recommending.
Great idea.
Are we the only town that you did this year?
You are the only town that we have worked with on this project. Salisbury actually recently got certified as a bee city as well. So there'll be two on the Eastern Shore.
Good.
We suck.
But we're coolest. So
yeah,
we're
okay.
Cool.
We have the coolest bees. Would anybody wish to make a motion?
Zach made a motion.
Yeah.
Now tell me, before we call the motion, at what point do we need the $150 certification fee?
At the application period.
So would this be the time to approve that also?
You can do that. That's within my authority.
We can add
well.
That to the motion.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you, Dean.
You would be adding it.
Would be.
Okay. We're adding that to the motion.
Okay. All right, no problem. We'll keep it simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a motion by Councilmember Tindall to approve a resolution of the Bee City designation for the town of Berlin, including the approval of the $150 application. And thank you very much for your presentation. And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you so much.
Thank
hey,
you.
Who knows where it goes from here, but thank you so much.
Thank
we really
you.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Guys.
Thank you.
Now we're on number four on the agenda, a motion 2018-14, a motion approving PP Development LLC to transfer one equivalent dwelling unit, EDU, to lot one, transfer one EDU to lot two, transfer five EDUs to lot three through seven, and approving the methodology of averaging the EDU pricing for the seven EDUs to $8,585.71, let's not forget that, per EDU. So, Mr. Cropper, I think you're representing TP tonight.
I am, Mr. Mayor, but let me say how much I don't cherish following young Mr. Heber and the Salisbury University students. There are some hard acts to follow.
That is true.
But yes, I am here on behalf of TP Development LLC for the reallocation of certain EDUs and the establishment of the cost for those EDUs. Now, do you want to take this over from here? Or okay. I want to give you the opportunity. Give them some experience. Come on, Austin. Throw it out there. I know that the mayor and council have a letter dated April 30th, 2018 from G. Troy Purnell outlining the discussions he's had with the staff about these allocations and the cost for these particular EDUs. And I guess I am here to try to answer any questions that you may have. But I think probably your staff is more familiar with the history of this than I am. So I would ask if any of the staff have any comments or input that they would like to provide at this time.
Where are the EDUs being transferred from?
There is a, I don't know if you have this, Mr. Burrell, but there's a chart.
He's got that.
Okay.
We also have a map.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes, sir.
In general,
yes.
In the Purnell Crossing development, and correct me if I'm wrong, in general, the EDUs that have already been approved for the portion of Purnell Crossing that is adjacent to Old Ocean City Boulevard, the developer is asking that they be reassigned to the portion of Purnell Crossing that is adjacent to West Broad Street.
That's correct.
Is that a reasonable?
That's fair.
That is correct. They're all right there. It's just taking them from this spot and moving them to this spot.
Now I'm confused. If you've been paying ready to serve fees for EDUs,
yep.
Why would you have to pay an $8,585.71 per EDU?
So there's a couple things going on. There seems to have been some inconsistency in the charging of the ready-to-serve fees for reasons that aren't clear to us. What Mr. Purnell has agreed to do is go back, I believe it's 8 years, and pay the back pay of the ready-to-serves. What that results in is some EDUs are going to be valued at one rate and some EDUs are going to be valued at another rate. What he's requesting is that the town approve this averaging process, which has not happened before. Staff doesn't have an issue with it because ultimately the town will be getting all of the funding that it's entitled to through this process. There's no financial advantage that Mr. Purnell will receive as part of the averaging of the EDU costs. My understanding from speaking to him is it will make it easier for him to sell his property, and I don't want to speak for Mr. Purnell.
Correct.
In the room, but that's my understanding is that it will make it easier for him to sell the property, and so he'd like to get the council's permission not only to transfer, which you've done before without issue, but to agree to do the averaging so that the EDU cost is the same across all parcels, which will make it easier for him to.
But it's the same amount of money to the
town. Ultimately the town will get the same amount of money. We're also going to be getting several years worth of ready-to-serves sort of as a back payment for this issue.
And I agree with everything Ms. Allen just said, and I will just add to that. It goes back really to a period between 2003 and 2011 where it appears just by pure mistake, I guess, some billings should have occurred that didn't. This rectifies all of that. It brings everything current and cures whatever took place back then.
Right. It's unclear in terms of like who's really at fault in this.
Right.
It could be us. It could be that. It could be a combination of the two. Regardless, I think we've come up with a reasonable approach to help Mr. Purnell with his property parcel subdivision and allocation of EDUs. It's really up to the council whether or not you'll agree to the transfer, which, again, you've done before, and this averaging process, which has not come before you before. I don't feel like it's within my authority to do so. There will be some additional administrative time spent because of the nature of the EDU process and our tracking. This rate is different than any other rate, should you establish it. So there's a little extra administrative work we'll need to do on our end, but it's not insurmountable. It's not that onerous. So it's really up to you.
So the EDUs go back to year 2003? Am I reading that right?
For the one account.
Yeah.
For the one account. Okay.
Account 22,
152,
0101.
Right.
So we're just looking at a blended rate, so we're not trying to sell some lots at one price, whatever, $6,000, the other ones at roughly $10,000, right?
Essentially, yes.
That's a great way to put it.
The account still has the same fee.
Yeah.
That's correct.
And so
yep.
We're not motion to approve.
One second. I have a question. As to the averaging side of things, if it's not something that's going to change on the town side, why are we getting involved with that? As long as we receive the money that we need payable for those EDUs, the cost of the EDU, I would think, is irrelevant on the town side. That's more of a development issue than the town. Am I incorrect?
I wouldn't disagree with that. It's really up to the council whether or not you want to allow that. I mean, I'll call it averaging in order to make the EDU rates the same across the parcel. Again, this is the request of Mr. Purnell. It's at your discretion whether or not you agree to it. Staff doesn't have an issue with it because ultimately the town will be receiving all of the funding it's entitled to, whether you average it or not.
And then we have gone back and asked customers to pay the ready-to-serves as opposed to other practices. So that's not new.
Yes, this is true. It does not happen very often, but when it does, we usually work that out.
Okay. Thank you. My question's been answered.
Still a motion to approve.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the, I guess you might call it the request from the TP Development LLC. The motion's been made by Council Member Goyas, and basically it boils down to catching up on any outstanding ready-to-serve fees and taking all EDU fees that are being allocated to this property, the total amount, and dividing it into equal sums. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair summary?
I think that's reasonable.
Okay. So this is the motion that's now been made by Councilman Goyas. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Opposed.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you all.
You were great.
Did a great job.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good job,
Austin.
You're perfect. But you put the skills down.
Now we're on item number five, and that is the Tattoo Ordinance Committee recommendation and a moratorium extension staff report. The Tattoo Ordinance, to the best of my recall, the committee came into place last fall. Was it last fall?
Yeah.
And tonight is to bring us up to date on where they are in their findings and what their recommendations are at this time. Thank you. If you just get an identifier results, because we all know. But
sure. I'm Matthew Amy.
Patricia Duvendock.
Dana Holmes.
First off, I'd like to thank the mayor and the council for their patience, and also asking that you be a little more patient with what we found and what we intend to propose. We need to approach the county health department with some text amendments because the tattoo ordinance committee would like to propose to the town certain regulations, but we need or would like the county health department's oversight when it comes to inspections. And basically, their oversight in making sure that these facilities will live up to the regulations that we propose. The problem that we've come to is that at the county level, at the health department, they have separated body piercing from tattoo establishments. So they have separate regulations. The issue lies in their body piercing establishment ordinances. They have specific directions for the health department stipulating their duty to inspect these locations. There is nothing within their tattoo establishment ordinance that mandates these inspections for tattoo establishments. So for us to move forward with our suggestion, we would like to approach the county to ask that they make this text amendment to mandate tattoo establishment regulations have those inspections. It would not change anything under the county's regulations nor any municipality within the county. It would just allow the health department to basically have this blanket inspection oversight throughout the county and the incorporated townships.
So am I correct in understanding that, assuming that, the, in this case, because we're a municipality, if the municipality approves tattoo establishments in their town, this text amendment would then require the county to then do inspections and do respond to any concerns as a part of their normal course of business that they already do for body piercing.
Absolutely.
But it does not say that everybody has to adopt the same standards. That could be different from municipality
correct.
To municipality or between the county areas and the town.
Correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
No, that's
yeah.
that's you got it, G. That's
the
reason
right.
why.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
I have it a good night.
That's and that's right. the information that's the information that we've discovered.
Okay.
And that is where we agree that we believe that it is the county health department's duty to oversee the health and well-being of the residents of the county and the municipalities. But we had a meeting with the representatives of the health department, and they basically are mandated to do certain jobs. And if there is no mandate, then it's not their responsibility, and then they would only treat complaints.
Now, am I informed correctly? Because, yeah, I know just enough to be dangerous, but I'm trying to be informed that county health departments throughout most of the state already do this, what you're requesting. It's not, they're
you
a
would,
department of health.
Can I jump in?
Please.
I'm the one who actually reached out to several county health departments, and that is my understanding. In fact, one of the environmental services director for one of the counties said, you know, really, this is a county health function. At least that was
yeah.
his that was his assessment.
Well, they're the board of health for all of us.
Exactly.
Regardless if it's restaurants, body piercing, tattoo businesses, they're
correct.
The board of health.
They are.
And we are not the board of health, nor are we the board of education, but they already have the expertise and the, you know, wherewithal
yeah.
to do this in a professional way.
Yeah. So right now, the Worcester County Health Department inspects body piercing establishments, restaurants, and they test pools.
Okay.
That's what they're mandated to do, and that is their sole mandate. They are on a complaint basis for most everything else. What we're hoping is that we can convince the county that it would be in their best interest to include tattoo establishments if we could either reference their instruction for inspections for body piercing establishments in their tattoo regulations or copy and paste, essentially asking the county health department to just mandate that if someone does approach the county to establish a tattoo studio, it is the health department's responsibility to inspect these locations in due process.
And isn't this a proactive approach, whereas some
absolutely.
Of our neighbors may just operate on a complaint basis? We're trying to be a little bit more proactive here in Berlin and make sure that the health department plays an integral role.
So, that is correct.
So it would be what we call an ongoing, normal part of the process.
It's a process they already perform, mm-hmm. and we're just asking them to look at another industry and continue to offer these services.
Not if someone would approach the county to start a tattooing establishment, but if someone would approach a municipality.
What I would like to do is have them add this verbiage, this text, that would cover both.
May I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Don't try to eat the whole elephant in one bite.
I've
been doing this a long damn time.
I understand.
And all I'm saying is, I think you do what you think you have to do, but I'm just telling you, sometimes it's better to show something will work than to basically the whole ball game, because I'm not sure that there is the support beyond any municipality in the countryside, because the rural areas are rural for a reason. Okay?
Absolutely.
And many of the things that we take as values here, many of the standards that we have had for sometimes generations, and in other cases maybe just in the last decade or two, have not yet been accepted in rural areas. And in fact, that's their right and their privilege.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm just giving you my best advice, and it's up for you all to consider what to do.
May I make a motion that we approve or write a letter of support for this committee to approach the county just to include Berlin, not the rest of the county? We're just here to argue on behalf of the town.
Can I just clarify something before we move forward? Within the county regulations at the health department level, under their body piercing establishment regulations, it explicitly states that it covers the county and municipalities. So it would...
You're thinking logically, not politically. Will you listen to me, damn it?
I'm in the wrong business.
Listen to me, damn it. You know, stop worrying.
I will take your
Stop with the logic. If logic existed, Washington wouldn't be in the mess it's in today.
I'm glad this
okay?
is being recorded. Okay.
No, I'm just telling you.
No, I appreciate
I'm just
that.
Giving
I,
you,
I,
I'm trying
I
to
really
give you because I, you know, we can request, we can recommend, whatever the council wishes to do. But then it's up to the county commissioners to then make their best judgment, and I'm trying to give you the best advice I can.
I appreciate it.
So that, you know, what we want to obviously, like everything else we attempt to do in this town, to have high standards, but not unreasonable ones. We want to have standards that that create public confidence in everything that we do, our restaurants, our public safety, our ADA access, whatever it is. We just want to do it as well as we can, and maybe even stretch a little bit beyond what we think we can do. And I just hope you understand it's not a personal criticism.
Well, sure.
But at the same time, just as I mentioned to the young man earlier, sometimes regardless of age, we have to lead by example. So I think it's very very important that we lead in a way that others can follow when it's time for them. I'm sorry.
Understood.
I've had my say.
No, that's... Appreciate that.
My motion?
Oh, yes.
So, just so I understand Zach's motion, is that Zach has moved that we as a council support a text amendment of the county ordinance only as it relates to the town of Berlin?
That is correct.
Okay. Not the entire county.
Just
the town.
Or could we phrase it to all incorporated townships?
But we don't tell the other towns what to do.
We just do Berlin.
So just be, okay.
And be honest, be frank. I would be, I speaking just for myself, would not wish, I want all the communities, we're not competitors, but I believe that every town should be what it wishes to be. Let Berlin be Berlin, let Ocean City be Ocean City, let Snow Hill, Pocomoke, and even though it's not technically a town, let Ocean Pines be Ocean Pines. Mm-hmm. I think that in this world where we have so much standardization, we all have to choose the kind of community, the kind of life, the kind of quality of life we want, and therefore, you know, at least in my one lifetime experience, there's too damn much standardization. And I think that one of the things we were lucky is that we didn't lose a lot of our basic values about what it means to be living in this particular place. And we have carried forward a lot of things that we treasured from the past, but we've left some other things way behind that were unfortunately part of our past. And I think every community has to make those decisions because, in my view, each community is an extended family. And I know every family does not have to be identical to every other family. And I think that at least I'm so grateful that this community, over at least the last two or three generations, has made the decisions it's made. Doesn't mean that some mistakes haven't been made, but generally speaking, we're following a course that I think is going to make us a better community over time. And I'm just asking that in your approach, represent the community that is here, and then others can make a informed decision based on how things work out here.
I agree 100%.
I think we have a motion, right?
Yes, sir.
So we have a motion to approve supporting a text amendment in the Worcester County Code to allow or to require the health department to inspect and to
oversee
tattoo businesses in the same manner in which they currently operate for body piercing. Is that a fair summary?
I believe it's a letter of support.
A letter of support.
Isn't that what you're seeking? Yeah, is a letter of support?
A letter of support. Okay. All right. Is everybody clear on what we're voting on?
Yeah, I want to make sure the committee is comfortable with what you're.
You're after a letter of support, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
That's
like.
All right. We have a motion and now a call to a question to the vote. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. We let the record show that we have a motion that passed 3-1 with one absence. Okay.
I think there was something else that you wanted to request.
Okay. On that note, okay. Because the moratorium is about to expire,
okay.
And because with your support, we would like to approach the county, we're asking that you extend the moratorium, I believe, for 180 days, because we're counting on this taking a little while to do the proper due diligence to move this forward. I'm hoping, as I'm sure everyone else is, that we can come to you in less than 180 days with an actual proposed set of regulations that would include information.
So we would, the entire council, all of us, would be able to see what it is we're approving in the nitty-gritty details and so forth.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Absolutely.
Move approve the extension of the moratorium for the 180 days as requested.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to extend the current moratorium on a tattoo business regulations for an additional 180 days that may be shortened if based on when the committee makes specific recommendations that the council can review and amend if necessary at some time in the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. Well, thank you all very much. I appreciate all your time. You know, we're venturing into new territory here, for us at least, but I think there's a lot of thought going into it.
For us as well.
Keep on plugging, see what happens.
The good news is that people who are sitting around in homes doing tattoos, we're not going to interfere with them out in the county. But in Berlin, the people who come and get a tattoo in Berlin, we're hoping, will be assured of safety. And, you know, and that's the biggest thing. Public safety is our most important.
Health
I think that's our guiding star in all of this. And the confidence that people can come to Berlin and know it's...
It's not just a business license.
Not just a business license.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alrighty. Now we're on item number 6 on our agenda, which is the first reading of an ordinance setting the real estate property tax for the next fiscal year, which begins July 1.
That's correct. And the mayor and council are obligated under state law to set this by ordinance. We're not proposing any change, so it stays the way that it always has. This would be the first reading. Then the public hearing would take place at the next council meeting, where the budget will be introduced, and then the schedule for budget adoption has that on for the June 25th meeting. So the idea is you do first reading, an introduction tonight, and then hopefully adopt the tax rate at the next meeting, budget introduction, and then budget adoption follows at the end of June.
And before we have a motion, I would like to clarify that, just for the record, because it's only mentioned once in a great while, our current property tax rate, residential property tax rate, is 68 cents per $100 of valuation. That is 5 cents lower than it was like 7 years ago, when we were one of the few municipalities in the entire state to lower our property tax rate. We've been able to maintain that for these last several years, but it's not automatic, and that's why we look at the budget each year and try to be as prudent as possible. But I want to state that I do not know if we're going to be able to maintain the lowest. It is the lowest property tax rate in this region. The only one that is lower is the town of Ocean City, which has a tax base of several hundred times greater than ours. But for every other municipality and the county of Worcester County and neighboring communities and counties, we are the lowest. So I'm very pleased that this is being able to be proposed tonight, and that we will make that will be approved, I guess, as part of the budget process in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's my hope, and I think Councilmember Gulley had a question.
Yes.
Before I make the motion to do this, can we please change this rate in here from 0.068 to 0.68? Otherwise, we're going to be
we're
going to come up real short.
Yeah, that's 6 cents.
I'll make the motion, but I need that change in
first
there.
Reading.
Well, it's just first reading, so that's why we do it, right?
Yeah.
But that would just mean we're going to give Natalie a heart attack when we hand her a check for $5.
Good job.
No, good. Thank you for picking that up.
Any other things you want to see in here that you want us to fix?
I'm good.
Our resident printer.
I'm good.
Okay, so can't tell you how many times we looked at it, so good job.
I made the same mistake. She looked at it too many times.
So we don't have to take a motion tonight.
That's
make
correct.
A motion tonight.
Unless Dave wants me to read it.
No.
Okay.
And it's 68 cents.
Yeah, 68 cents.
68 cents.
Yeah. Unless I can pay mine now.
Alrighty. Next, we have our departmental reports. First is Finance Director Natalie Salee.
Good evening. I don't have much on my report. I just want to remind that 2 weeks from now on is May the 29th, where we'll have a production budget. And before that, I will forward all the reports for your review in PDF and Excel forms. And
thank you. Thank you. Next is Administrative Services Director Mary Boland.
I don't have anything to report this evening, but just as a kind of a matter of housekeeping, just so that everybody keeps it in mind, the next meeting on the 29th is actually a Tuesday because Monday is the Memorial Day holiday.
Good point. Thanks,
good
Mary.
Reminder. Thank you for that reminder. Some habits. Thank you. Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just have a few things. Most of our work over the past couple of weeks has been on Franklin Avenue in front of the school there. We had that storm that came through town a week or so ago, and what we found there is the lines needed to be resagged, basically brought back up to where they should have been. Over time, wire will stretch, basically, due to weather, temperature, that type thing. So we had to go through there and basically lay out everything energized so nobody would be out of power and raise all the lines from William Street all the way back out to Route 113. So we had to do all the poles down through there. That took about a week and a half. And also, we assisted Public Works Department with bulk pickup, which was yard waste. On that, and then other than that, we did a little tree trimming as far as maintenance, that type of thing. And then also over the past weekend, I attended the what's called the Gaff and Go Lyman's Rodeo in Doswell, Virginia. I've been a judge basically in the Lyman's Rodeo for about 18 years with the American Public Power, and then also the Gaff and Go. There were 28 teams that competed against each other from all over the East Coast, and we actually had one team that showed up from California. They came all the way out here to compete in the rodeo. Bluegrass Energy was the team that won the event overall. They have to do 5 events throughout the day, and they placed in first, took first place.
And where are they from?
Bluegrass Energy, they're from the mountains somewhere. Some of the ones I was familiar with were Rappahannock Electric Co-op was there, Dominion, which is a big company out of Virginia, they were there. And then, you had several, Northern Virginia Electric Co-op was there, and some of the big cooperatives. But it's an experience, it's something to watch, and it's pretty interesting.
Can Kentucky.
I got
Kentucky.
Yeah. Got a question.
Nicholsville.
Yes, sir.
I was fortunate enough to watch you guys across from the school.
Yes,
on Franklin Avenue. What are those orange things that you were using on the lines?
The ones that go over the lines themselves, they're rubber hoses. They're actually dielectric tested for up to 30,000 volts. Basically, that's what protects us from being electrocuted.
Oh, okay.
What you do is you put them on all the lines and the insulators, and you're basically insulating yourself as a barrier from going phase to phase or phase to ground. We would be able to do our job energized if we didn't use those devices.
I was almost right. I was thinking what they were.
Yep.
Trying to figure out what they were, and I figured it was something to do with safety.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Definitely it is.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Tim? Next is Chief Police Arnold Dowling.
We're pleased to say that prom and after prom activities went without any issues. And we actually had a wonderful reggae play that had a beat or two to punch. again, we're talking about large crowd, and again, the last two events have actually brought a lot of folks into town and, you know, being involved. The police department actually has moved all of the actual fencing around the property. So, again, MBE's very happy that we have all that taken care of. Actually reseeded, and we're getting ready for graduation for a lot of our different colleges and high schools. So that's something that's great dead in our minds. We do have the drug drop box in the station. We're going to go ahead and get some decals actually put on that, and we're going to go ahead and shoot out a little media information letting everybody know what they can go ahead and drop off, and let them know it's going to be 24 hours every day of the year.
Thank you, Chief.
That's great. Welcome. And that's a big thank you to CET, Nate Passwater. He actually got ours and Pokemon's at the same time. So we definitely have to say thank you very much for our county partners.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Okay. Next we have Economic and Community Development Director, Ivy Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you for giving us a high remark on Reggae Play Day. It takes a lot of people to put on an event, especially in downtown, and just want to thank everyone for their help and support, but especially Big Al Reno and Ocean 98 for putting that event together, and also the people over at Finn's and our Public Works guys and Augie and Sharon. Everyone was, it worked out to be a wonderful night, and Mother Nature was also on our side that night too. I have been working on, it's due in a couple of days, another community legacy grant to extend our facade grant, our facade improvement grant funding. Over the last 3 years, I have approved 21 facade grants worth more than $200,000. So I think that will give us some leverage on getting some extra funding for next year. Hopefully, we'll get $50,000 more for next year, and that is a grant that we get from Department of Housing and Community Development. It's not a matching grant. So they don't give us the money until we approve the grant, and then we reimburse the business or property owner for what they've spent, and then we let DHCD know, and then they submit a check to the town. Let's see. Tomorrow night, I am having a community meeting to restart the Berlin Farmers Market. As you all know, that the current market is no longer in existence, so I think it's time for us to step up and start a brand new one. So if anyone's interested, everyone's invited tomorrow night at Sisters, 5:30. I have flyers up there. I also have some flyers here. Third Thursday concert is Thursday, 11:30 to 1:30. Hopefully it won't rain. I will make the call about 24 hours in advance because they are coming from the other side of the bridge. If it looks like it's going to rain, the concert will be canceled. Let's see. There is a new business finally going into the new building on Gay Street. It's a home decor business. She is hoping to open up sometime within the next couple of weeks. that's in Patrick Forsteg's building behind the hotel. And I also wanted to, especially because the press is here, get the word out that we will start accepting event application submissions for the 2019 event season. We will probably have the deadline for that sometime in the beginning of September. So anyone who's interested in having an event in town for 2019, please see me, and I'll get you an event application form. And other than that, that's it.
Does anyone have any questions for Ogden?
I have one question. What are you looking maybe to move the farmer's market, like, to a different location?
Yes, or the farmer's market will be in a different
Berlin
location.
Berlin Falls Park, by any chance?
What?
Berlin Falls Park, by any chance?
Nope.
Ample parking?
Nope, not Berlin no. Falls Park.
All right. Just a shot in the dark.
Good.
Just a comment. I was so pleased to be in a store and hear folks talk about, I don't know if they live in Berlin or not, but to hear folks talk about how pleased they were to still be able, with the world and the situation it is today, to be able to come to Berlin and still have good, clean fun. Mm-hmm. Their reference were to the reggae celebration. And it especially made me feel good to think that in some small way that I'm a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And just thank you. Thank you for your ideals, for your efforts, and the entire town. It was a real pleasing thing to hear.
Thank you. I think it was one of our best events yet, actually. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments for Avi? All right, thank you. Next is Managing Director Jeff Leewood.
Just one thing, Mayor and Council, and my colleagues here. Next week, Tuesday, open enrollment. Wednesday, open enrollment. Thursday, open enrollment. On Tuesday, 8 to 12. On Wednesday, 8 to 4. On Thursday, from noon to 4. Every employee, full-time employee, and elected officials need to make a presence. And location will be in here.
Excellent. Any questions for Jeff? All right. Next is our town administrator's report.
I don't have anything additional.
Okay, thank you. I just have one brief announcement. We indicated this back when the Matrix Consulting report was delivered to us, and then we posted it on our website that we would be having a public meeting so that people could talk to their representative coming to Berlin. And the date will be Tuesday, June 5th at 6:30 p.m., at the Berlin Intermediate School. The public's invited. It is basically an opportunity for you to hear the presentation rather than just read it. Obviously, they won't go over every word, but they'll present it and also accept questions and comments so that everybody can be fully informed as to what that multiple-month study entailed and what the many recommendations are about. We hope that there will be a good turnout so that people can learn firsthand, because some people enjoy, at least are able to assimilate all that kind of information much easier in a setting of that nature rather than reading something either online or on paper. So we encourage you to be there, and that's the only comment I have. And
do we have any comments from the council?
Just something real quick, Ivy, I forgot to add. The speaker that you had at Sisters Liz.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal.
Thank you.
I don't know if you have any of the other statistics that he shared or when he's coming back. Hopefully we'll be able to coax him back down here again.
Yeah, he'll come back.
He was unbelievable.
And we
really
had a great turnout from the business community.
Really enjoyed that. Mayor, didn't you think that was really good
yes.
info he was giving us? I do.
I think it was very interesting because there was over 30-some people there representing, I'd think, about at least two dozen businesses, which is quite frankly a lot since most of them tend to be downtown
sure.
for the merchants meeting. And his emphasis on adapting to online sales and understanding that, you know, it's like, I thought it was very complimentary as to how this town has evolved in this century. You can either fear the future or you can embrace it. And it doesn't mean you have to close up shop, but I think he made a very strong case for if you're in retail, if you're in any kind of business, that you have to have an online presence that's not just an ad, but an ability to buy. And I thought it was very effective, and I think it was very well received.
I hope the restaurants hire him to come back down and do something just for them. I think they would benefit greatly from that. But a great speaker. Let me know when he comes again, please.
His name was Tom Fiddler.
Tom Fiddler.
Okay.
Great guy.
He wasn't the fiddler on the roof.
No.
He was pretty entertaining.
Not with Wendy.
He was funny.
Good. All right. Next, do we have
any? I have nothing.
Oh, back to the jazz. On Friday night, I came in late, and I got talking to some of the employees at Public Works, and I stayed with them for a while. I didn't do any work. They were mingling with the people, talking, and they were very patient, and I watched them take the staging area down and hook it up to the trucks and pull off with everything. They were very into it, and they were talking about how great the music was and everything. And they didn't seem like they mind being there, and that was like probably close to 10 o'clock, I guess, yeah, getting around that time.
So. We all had a good old time, all of us.
So they were in good spirits. I mean, you know, they felt like they were part of it and everything, so I think that was good.
Great. Thank you. Thank
you. I just have one request of the mayor. If you would send to me either email or text those that profound comment you made about bubbles and champagne, I sure would appreciate it.
Okay, it'll be my pleasure.
Copyright, careful.
That's all I am.
That'll be unquotable.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Do we have any comments from our questions or concerns from anyone who's in attendance tonight? Do we have any questions or comments from the press?
Move to adjourn.
All right. We stand adjourned. Thank you so much for your patience.
Mayor, you coming with me?
Yes, I better.
How are you, sir?
He would make sure he get lost.
I walked in and Betsy looked at me like,
absolutely.
She said, yeah, he goes at 6:30. It's like, oh, good Lord. It's maybe a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Good.
Yeah, that one's just an acknowledgement that.
Or you
yeah.
I'll have to have him sign my notary later.
You're in. You can't get started.
We might be able to get big truck behind you.
Well, if you want, obviously completely up to you.
There you go.
I've got to keep the original anyway.
But
in
case you get tired,
I'll be in the box.
And go fast as up. Put the yard in.
Right.
And I'll get the.
We got a nice letter. But what we're trying to do. And again, might have to. Can we keep saying next year?
Sorry.
Oh, no.
But Donnie, I think he'll recognize, you know, for his blind star and have him. He went through, while you can't find old, he mustered out of Philly.
We should have taken him
down here. And he said that some other people were looking for him, so he said we'd get the information.
Try and burn it.
I tell you, another person you might want to ask. that's got some history.
I can't wait to see
those kind of people.
TP.
I'm telling you, had I thought about it, I would have brought some of the old fish around to milk
this salad.
That was the only one.
And then,
Leon Miller, this is a good one. This is very official.
Oh, Leon in that post. Oh, yeah. I mean, Leon Miller.
Is he kicking?
Yeah,
he's
sitting there on his knees by the hand stuff, but that was
Alex. That's
how he
is. I'm sitting there and I'm like feeling it.
First thing he did, the guy was Kenny. Kenny was right on. So he said he's going to get a hold of the district commander because he thinks something was actually done before. Because we're trying to get everybody from this area.
I'm still waiting for Tom.
Okay. Yeah, last year, when we did the memorial thing, they haven't asked for that this year yet.
They need to get the paperwork in there. They've already said it. They're doing it and everything. I got the phone call.
I got a call. Janie Thompson.
But she wasn't from her, because I had a new name.
A new name?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it was a lady.
Was it from the Merkel Legion?
It was from Booth.
Okay, okay.
Just one more?
It might be president.
Is either one of them come?
I don't know. Maybe they're not.
There you go. Thanks.
Thank you.
Can I have my pin back? Sorry.
I'm good for taking pins now.
I'll have to fight you for it, Elroy.
All right.
Have a good night.
You too.
You didn't spend too much at sunset, did you?
Oh, did you?